అజ్ఞానకృతమాత్మన కథం త్వ అనాథ కృపణ వర్తేరంస్తే చ మాం వినా తస్మాత్ జాహి అంగ వైక్లవ్యం అజ్ఞానకృతమాత్మన కథం త్వ అనాథః కృపణః వర్తేరంస్తే చ మాం వినా తస్మాత్ జాహి అంగ వైక్లవ్యం అజ్ఞానకృతమాత్మన కథం త్వ అనాథః కృపణః వర్తేరంస్తే చ మాం వినా తస్మాత్ దేఫోర్ జాహి గివ్ అప్ అంగ ఓకింగ్ వైక్లవ్యం మెంటల్ డిస్పారిటీ అజ్ఞాన ఇగ్నరెన్స్ కృతం డ్యూ టు ఆత్మనః ఆఫ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ కథం హౌ టు బట్ అనాథ హెల్ప్లెస్ కృపణ పూర్ క్రియేచర్స్ వర్తేరన్ బీ ఏబుల్ టు సర్వైవ్ తే దే చ ఆల్సో మామ్ మీ వినా వితౌట్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ Therefore, give up your anxiety due to ignorance of the self. You are now thinking of how they, who are helpless poor creatures, will exist without you. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When we think of our kith and kin as being helpless and dependent on us, it is all due to ignorance. Every living creature is allowed all protection by the order of the Supreme Lord in terms of each one's acquired position in the world. The Lord is known as Bhutabhrit, one who gives protection to all living beings. One should discharge his duties only, for no one but the Supreme Lord can give protection to anyone else. This is explained more clearly in the following verse. Om agyanti mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun melitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamayam dadati swapadantikam వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతాం సహగణారఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణాలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ వంచ కల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధువ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామో హరే రామో రామ రామో హరే 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 కృష్ణ. లైక్ టు వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ టు టుడేస్ భాగవతం క్లాస్. టుడే ఇన్ దిస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ వర్స్ వి ఆర్ గివెన్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద ఇంపార్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ప్రొటెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణాస్ డివోటీస్. సో వి ఆర్ ఇన్ అ రెయినీ సీజన్. So here is a very apt example that will begin today's session and the mood of today's session. So one person was asking why there are so many spiritual gatherings happening nowadays, why there are so many spiritual discourses happening, especially if you look at post COVID period. You know, the number of spiritual classes that have happened is like just grown like anything, you know. So the idea of why so many spiritual classes are happening, it's a very natural thing, because just like the moment there is rain, so many umbrellas open up, right? Now somebody can ask, why there are so many umbrellas, you know, nowadays? There's rain, there'll be umbrellas, isn't it? So similarly, the moment there are problems, there will be spiritual gatherings, there will be spiritual solutions, there will be discourses, there will be katha, there will be somewhere where we seek solace. Now obviously the umbrella is not going to stop the rain. The rain will continue. But the umbrella can protect you from the rain. Similarly, when we take shelter of Krishna consciousness, it's not that the problems will stop. It'll just be that you will not be affected by them. That's all. So when we talk about Krishna's protection, when we talk about, you know, Krishna protecting his devotees, what kind of protection are we talking about? There are many types of protection that Krishna gives us. In fact, there are specifically five types of protection that Krishna gives. The first protection that Krishna gives is protection from ajnana. Ajnana means ignorance. So we get knowledge when we come to, you know, spiritual classes, and that knowledge helps us fight against ignorance. The second kind of protection that Krishna gives is known as Vyasana Raksha. That means protection against bad habits. So all of us in our own lives, we have overcome so many bad habits the moment you come to take shelter of spirituality. And then Krishna also gives what is known as Truti Rakshana, or protection from mistakes. We all commit mistakes, but we have, through the path of spirituality, we have the ability to overcome our mistakes. And then there is Anartha Rakshana, which means protection from wrongdoings or anarthas, vices. And finally, there is Shatru Rakshana, protection from enemies. In fact, one of Lord Ram's name, he is Pratamanjali Kinkara. In the Ramayana, when Vibhishan comes to take shelter of Lord Ram, Ram offers this very interesting understanding. He says, Sakradeva Prapannoyam Tavasmiti Yachate Abhayam Sarvadat Sarva Bhutebhyo Dadami Vritam Mama. So he says that if anyone who first just once tells the Lord, I am yours, Krishna protects that person. Ram goes out of his way to protect that person. The word Pratamanjali Kinkara, the word Kinkara comes from the word Kim Karoti, means what can I do for you? So the mood of the Lord is always what can I do for the devotees. To help us understand this whole concept of how Krishna protects us, I'm going to tell you all a story. The rest of the class is only this story, literally. But this is such a fascinating story. I can guarantee you all would have never heard of a story like this. It's such a fascinating story. It's such a beautiful story. It's actually a very hope-giving story. And this story appears in Jaimini Bharat. And this story appears in a section where Arjun is fighting against some enemies. So there is a whole Ashwamedh Yajna that has been arranged, and Arjun is going behind the horse. So wherever the horse stops, Arjun has to fight against some enemies. So during one such fight, the war was just about to start. And even Krishna was there, you know, on Arjun's side at that time. And here, Arjun is a little confused about how to face the enemy. And at that point, somehow Narad Muni appears over there. And Narad Muni tells Arjun, can I tell you a story? Narad Muni asks Arjun, are you sure you want to hear this story just before a battle? Arjun tells Narad Muni, I'm used to hearing things before battle. You know, it gives me more clarity to fight. You know. So Arjun tells him, please tell me a story. You know. And right in front of Krishna, Narad Muni is narrating this story to Arjun. And this story is an amazing story of hope. The story is of a little boy who was faced with a very unique situation, and how this boy, through his whole life, learned to depend on God, depend on Krishna for protection at every stage in his life. So all of us are very much like this little boy. And as we are going to hear the story of this little boy, we'll realize that at every stage in our own life, there have been some invisible forces that have been protecting us in so many ways. So this boy, he was born to a king named Sudharmika. And he was born on Moola Nakshatra day. It's supposed to be a very auspicious birth. But the day he was born, his father died. And when the father died, the father was attacked by some enemies, you know, and he died in a war. When the queen, the mother of this little boy, heard that her husband is dead, she also died. So imagine, you know, this boy is just born and father, mother both are dead and the kingdom is taken over by an enemy. So just to save this little born child, a nurse takes this boy and runs away from the kingdom. And she goes to a nearby kingdom named Kuntalpura. And for the next 3 years, this nurse takes care of this child. And eventually, she takes up a job in the kitchen of the king of Kuntalpura. And one day, this nurse also dies, leaving this boy completely homeless, helpless, without any protection, a three-year-old child. Now, the small little baby, he is feeling hungry at some point, and he doesn't know anything. 3-year-old children, what do they know? They don't understand anything about home and you know, what is mine and what is yours, you know. So this little boy, he was so sweet that anyone who looked at him, their heart would melt. So this boy started walking around, crawling around all over the street in which the nurse was living. He would go to a neighbor's house when he's feeling hungry. He would go to anybody's house, basically. And anyone who saw this little boy, they would feed him. Somebody would bathe him in the morning. Somebody would clothe him. Somebody is feeding him. So like this, this boy, he grew up to understand that everything belonged to him and he belonged to everyone. So literally the entire village was raising this child. One day, this boy walked into the house of, he grew up, slowly started growing up. And one day he walked into this house of the prime minister of the kingdom of Kuntalpura. His name was Drishtabuddhi. So somehow that day somebody had given him new clothes. So he walked into the house of this Drishtabuddhi with new clothes. And that particular day Drishtabuddhi was feeding a group of brahmanas. So this boy went and sat among the brahmanas. And he ate food that was being offered there. And while all the brahmanas were leaving, Drishtabuddhi was profusely thanking each one of them. And suddenly the brahmanas noticed, this boy doesn't belong to us. He's not from our group, you know. So then they were bewildered. They asked him, who are you, you know. And Drishtabuddhi, he thought maybe it was an orphan who has come here for some, you know, for a meal. So Drishtabuddhi had no problem. But one brahmana looked at this boy and he said, this boy is not an ordinary child. He is born to be a king. And the brahmana said, he has all the auspicious signs of a great person. And he told Drishtabuddhi, take care of him, because in future, he will take care of your wealth and property. The moment Drishtabuddhi heard that, he became insecure. Now imagine if somebody says, you know, somebody is going to take care of your wealth and property, which essentially means your property will go to that fellow, isn't it? So Drishtabuddhi was thinking so much, you know. So he eventually understood that this boy is a threat to my security and to my, you know, wealth, property, whatever, you know. So Drishtabuddhi began to think in a very, very negative and a very bad way. Negative thinking is usually triggered by some insecurity. And insecurity is triggered due to some attachment. And attachment is triggered by this thinking of I and mine. And the I and mine mindset is a result of taking yourself too seriously. And we take ourselves too seriously, and that's why all the problems happen. So this Drishtabuddhi, so this boy ate over there and he went away, you know. This Drishtabuddhi, he called a group of dacoits. These are dangerous dacoits. And they used to take money to kill people. So he called a group of these dacoits. And he hired them to kill this little boy. So when the contract was given to this dacoit king saying that kill this little boy, he started laughing. He said, who gives a contract to kill a little boy like this? Drishtabuddhi said, I don't know what you do. Take this boy somewhere very far away, kill him. And give me some proof that, you know, some organ of this boy's body should be shown to me as proof. So this group of dacoits, they kidnapped this boy and they took this boy to the forest. Now this boy had no idea. He's a little child. He has no idea what is good, what is bad. He has no idea who is good, who is bad. For him, he is completely dependent on the village and is completely dependent on Krishna. So when this little boy was taken into the forest, he didn't know what was happening. And at the sight of all these dangerous looking people, the boy started crying. And that particular day, this little child had a very unique experience. So he was playing with a lot of kids in that area. And while playing with the kids, he found a very unique stone.
It's a shining black stone. And he took that stone and kept with him. And interestingly, that stone was a Shaligram Shila. And this boy kept that Shaligram Shila with him very tightly in his fist. And somehow, as this group of dacoits kidnapped him, he immediately started praying to the Lord. So the nurse who had raised him up for a couple of years, she taught him some mantras to chant. And she told him, whenever you are scared, chant these Vishnu mantras. And this little boy started chanting Vishnu mantras, just spontaneously. And there was this one cruel dacoit that was coming to him to kill this little child. As this cruel dacoit was almost about to kill the little child, something struck in the mind of the leader of the dacoits. And the leader of the dacoits said, stop, stop, stop. So then, this person was going to kill, he stopped. Then this leader of the dacoits, he said, look at this child. He's so innocent. He's so beautiful looking. We have done every sin in the world. But this sin, if we do, this will be the worst ever. So the leader of the dacoit said, let's leave this child. Let's not harm this child. Maybe just by leaving this child, we might get rid of all the sins that we have done so far. But then the other dacoits reminded him, that fellow who has given you a contract, he wants some proof that you killed the child. Some part of the organ of the child. Then they saw that this little child, on his toe, on his feet, he had one extra finger, one extra toe. They decided, let's cut that toe and give to the fellow Drishtabuddhi, proof that we have killed him. So they cut that one extra toe of this boy's feet and took that toe and showed it to the Drishtabuddhi. And Drishtabuddhi was convinced now that the child is dead. But this little child, feet was bleeding, crying, roaming around in the forest, very, very disturbed. And as he was crying, wandering around in great pain, something amazing happened. There was a deer, a she-deer, a doe, that was roaming around in that area. And, the deer saw this boy crying like this. And he saw the boy was wounded and there was blood coming out. This deer came and started licking the wound of this child, just to pacify the child, And then all the birds in that area, they began to make beautiful sounds just to make this child happy. And they were making like a symphony of sound, just to make this child happy. And this child, he just kept chanting mantras. He was scared. He was in pain. But he kept chanting the mantra. That's all he knew. At that time, just when this child was in tears, crying and in agony, in pain, there was a king of Kulinga who happened to be hunting in that part of the forest. And he spotted this little boy who was accompanied by this deer. And this king was amazed. He had never seen such a beautiful child. And that too, this deer is accompanying the child everywhere, wherever the child is walking. So this king of Kulinga, he got off his horse and he asked this child, what is your name? Where are you from? And this boy didn't respond only because he didn't have a home. He didn't even know his name. He didn't even know where he was from. He was too small to be able to answer anything. So this king carried this child, wiped the tears of this child, and made the child feel safe. So when the king asked him finally, who is your father and mother? The child gave an amazing answer. The child said, God is my father and mother. And this king, his heart melted. And he decided that I'm going to take this child home. And interestingly, that king didn't have a child. So he said, from today onwards, this child is my child. So he took the child home and they went into the city of Chandravati. This is the capital of the Kulinga kingdom. So this king, his name was Kulindaka. He handed over this child to his wife. And this queen was so happy. They declared a celebration in the kingdom. And there was a massive feast organized. And the royal astrologers were called. When the astrologers came, they made a prediction. They said, this child is very intelligent, very wealthy, very pious, and will become supremely famous. And they said, when he smiles, it will seem like the moon is showering nectar on this world. And therefore, we will name this child as Chandrahas. So this child from that time onwards came to be known as Chandrahas. And the story of Chandrahas is so famous that Narad Muni is telling the story to Arjun. So Chandrahas eventually became a very, very popular person in the kingdom. People loved him so much. And he loved God so much. So Chandrahas became such a God-loving person that while he would study, while Chandrahas was studying alphabets, he would only study alphabets that combined to form the name Hari. And he somehow or the other, in anything he was studying, he was somehow finding the name of Hari in it. And the teachers tried to teach him something else. And he would politely tell them, Hari is the essence of all learning. So like this, the Chandrahas was amazing everyone. So the king was very, very happy looking at Chandrahas's, you know, intelligence and beauty and, you know, astuteness in learning. So eventually, Chandrahas became expert in studying the Vedas. But wherever and whatever he studied in the Vedas, he would find conclusion as Hari. He became an expert in archery. When you shoot an arrow, he chanted the name of Hari and shot always to perfection. At the age of 15, he began to tour. He went on a tour of conquest. And he began to conquer kingdom after kingdom. And as he conquered kingdom after kingdom, he was compassionate even to the enemies. And eventually he became very, very powerful and mighty. And Chandrahas eventually came back to the city of Chandravati after a massive tour, conquering so many kingdoms and bringing back so much wealth. So the citizens of Chandravati, they became so happy. The king and queen became so happy that they received him to, they arranged a big reception. And there was palanquins and there was elephants, a royal procession arranged for to bring him back. Chandrahas was such a humble and simple person. He refused to sit on the palanquin. He made his father and mother sit on the palanquin. And he took the footwear of his father and kept on his head and walked ahead of the palanquin. The king was just so amazed. Chandrahas had brought in so much wealth back. So the kingdom of Chandravati till this point in time, it was going through a very bad phase of economic situations. And they had no development that had happened in the kingdom so far. So the king used all that money to do so many new things, develop wells, develop places, so many things. And Chandrahas, he told his father, the king of Kulindaka, that let us return all the loans that we had taken. So the king had taken loans from many, many people. And he wanted to return all the old debts. So while returning all the old debts, one of the old debts that they had, they had taken a huge amount of money from this minister, Drishtabuddhi, in another the other kingdom. So this minister, Drishtabuddhi, his money also had to be returned. So then they sent a huge amount of money to return back to that minister. So when that minister got that, such a small kingdom, how it is able to pay such a huge amount of debt? So he wasn't expecting anything in return, but the repayment surprised him a lot. So when he heard about the king of Kulindaka had a son now who did all this, Drishtabuddhi immediately left from his kingdom to come to this Chandravati kingdom to find out who this person is who is doing so much. So when he reached the city of Chandravati, he was amazed at the development of that place. The last time he had visited, it was almost just a forest, small forest kingdom. And now it was almost equivalent to his own kingdom in development. So he went to the king of Kulindaka and he asked him, you know, what is happening? How is so much development happening? The king of Kulindaka introduced him to Chandrahas and told him, this person, my son, is behind this whole thing. And Drishtabuddhi said, you didn't have a son for a long time, you didn't have a child. How come he is your son now? And then this person explained that this child was given to me by Krishna. And he said, I was roaming around in the forest, and in the middle of the forest, I saw this child with one toe of his leg cut and he was bleeding, and I brought this child home. And immediately Drishtabuddhi came to know this is the same child that was supposed to be the cause of his problems. And Drishtabuddhi felt, whatever the saints had predicted now is coming true. And this fellow is going to take over all my money, you know. So now, Drishtabuddhi, he realized that I need to do something, otherwise this fellow is going to destroy me. So he said, can I stay here for some time? So the king of Kulindaka, he invited him to stay for a while. And this Drishtabuddhi started staying in the palace of the king, thinking of some idea how to get rid of Chandrahas. And after a few days of staying there, he suddenly got an idea. So he ran to the king the king Kundalika, and he told him, I need a very urgent favor. He said, there is a big problem in my kingdom and I'm not able to go right now. Can you dispatch someone with a message from me? Very urgent message that should be given to my son. So the king said, the only person who is so reliable and so trustable is my son Chandrahas. We'll send the message with him. Drishtabuddhi wanted this only. So he wrote a letter. And in that letter, essentially, this letter was written by Drishtabuddhi to his son. The letter said, whoever is carrying this letter, give him wish. Means, give him poison. That was the message that was there, you know. And he also wrote in that letter, do not see his age, beauty, family, valor, education or wealth. Wish should be given to him immediately. That was what the letter was. It was a sealed letter. And he gave the letter to Chandrahas and he told him, please make sure the seal is not broken. And I want you to give this letter, highly confidential letter, to my son. And only give it to my son's hand. So Chandrahas took the letter and he left. So now, Drishtabuddhi was very, very happy that, you know, 100% now work will be done. Because Chandrahas is not in his own kingdom, he's in my kingdom. And my son will take care of it. So Drishtabuddhi, he relaxed. Chandrahas left on the travel, on the way, long journey. On the way, he got exhausted. And he was sitting on the bank of a river, you know, leaning against a tree. And he went to sleep. As he was leaning against a tree and going to sleep, in that forest, there was a lake. So this tree was just on the bank of that lake. And in that lake, there was a group of young girls who were enjoying themselves, you know, having fun for a lake. They were bathing in the lake. There was the princess named Champak Kamilini. She was a daughter of the king of Kuntalpura. And the daughter of Drishtabuddhi. She was also there in that group. And the daughter of Drishtabuddhi, her name was Vishaya. So she was also there enjoying. And somehow this girl, Vishaya, she saw this, you know, young, handsome prince. All the other girls somehow didn't see. So this young girl, she sneaked aside, you know, came over there and saw this boy sleeping under the tree. She immediately fell in love with him. And she saw this letter, you know, stuck in his waist. She removed that letter. She opened the seal and she read it. And she saw it was written by her father. And it was written, you know, do not see his age or wealth or, you know, anything else. Immediately give him Vishay. Wish. So she just added YA to it, you know. And she sealed the letter back again and put it back in his, you know, waist, and she went with her friends. And this boy, he had no idea what had happened. He just got up and he went to the kingdom of Kuntalpura. And this boy, Chandrahas, he went to the brother of Vishaya, the son of Dushtabuddhi, and he handed over the letter. And this boy opened the letter and he was shocked when he saw what was written in the letter, you know. So, do not see his age, beauty, family, valor, education, wealth, or, you know, education. Just immediately give him Vishaya. So he said, Father, I don't know why Father is making it so urgent, you know. You don't make a marriage so urgent, right? But he said, anyway, Father has told means must be important, you know. So Madana, who was the brother of Vishaya, he immediately arranged for the marriage. And a massive elaborate ceremony was organized, and all pundits were called, and everything was organized well. And Chandrahas was told that this letter says you have to marry my sister. Chandrahas saw Vishaya, he was immediately inspired, and Vishaya saw Chandrahas, he was anyway, her heart was with him, and the marriage is organized. And Chandrahas, after the whole marriage got over, he was, he came back to the city of Chandravati. And interestingly, when Chandrahas came back to the city of Chandravati, he saw something shocking. The shocking thing was Drishtabuddhi had taken over the city. He, captured the king, the father of Chandrahas, took over the city forcibly. And now when Drishtabuddhi saw Chandrahas is married to his daughter, he was bewildered. Now his whole plan went for a toss, So he said, man proposes, God disposes him. So at every stage, Chandrahas was being protected by some higher force. Now Drishtabuddhi realized that if he doesn't do anything right now, then he's going to be in big trouble. So Drishtabuddhi went back to the city of Kuntalpura. He took his son-in-law, daughter-in-law, son-in-law and daughter along with him. And he said, anyway, now they are married, so I'll take good care of them. And I will receive them in a proper way. I was missing, so I need to take care of them. So Drishtabuddhi, he now accepted the fate that, my this fellow has become my son-in-law, but I have to deal with it very sensitively. He didn't want it to become a, big chaos. So Drishtabuddhi went back to his own kingdom, and he told his son-in-law Chandrahas a very secret ritual that has to be done. And he said, early in the morning, as soon as the sun rises, you have to be standing in the temple of Ambika. And only the son-in-law has to do this ritual, basically. Offer a garland to the deity of Ambika early in the morning. Chandrahas said, okay. Drishtabuddhi went and caught those dacoits. And he said, I had given you so much money, you didn't kill that boy. Instead, you only cut off the toe of the boy and got. Now I'm going to punish you if you don't kill this boy. So the dacoits got scared. And now this boy was an adult, so they didn't have any problem in killing him now. So this Drishtabuddhi told this dacoits that I'm going to send this boy early in the morning sunrise. As soon as the door opens, whoever you see standing on the door, kill that fellow. He told like this, and he went away. So dacoits were standing inside the temple of Ambika, waiting for somebody to open the door first thing in the morning. And in the meanwhile, Drishtabuddhi, went to sleep because he had given instructions, very clear instructions. And he was very exhausted, he went to sleep. The next day, early morning, the king of Kuntalpura, he was diagnosed with some disease. He was suffering for long, and he was almost on the verge of dying that night. So now the king of Kuntalpura didn't have a son. He wanted to hand over the kingdom to somebody qualified before he dies. So he was trying to find out who is that qualified person whom he can hand over, the son to, the kingdom to. And the astrologers who had predicted, who had seen the chart of Chandrahas, They told the king, the son-in-law of Drishtabuddhi is the best person. You should give the kingdom to him. So the king said, immediately call the son-in-law, Chandrahas here. I want to hand over the kingdom to him right now. This is like early in the morning. Chandrahas had got up and he was leaving the house for, you know, going to that Ambika's temple. And in the meanwhile, Madana, he came and intervened and he said, the king is calling you right now. He said, no, no, my father-in-law has told me to go to Ambika temple because there's a very important ritual. I need to be there with the garland. As soon as I open the door, first garland I have to put. So Madan said, don't worry, I will take the garland. You go to king, you know. And Madan took the garland and went to Ambika's temple. And this Chandrahas went and, you know, he was appointed as a king. And as soon as Madan opened the door, the dacoits attacked him and killed him. And then Drishtabuddhi, he woke up in the morning and he was waiting for, you know, the good news. And he saw Chandrahas coming back in an elephant, you know, with all kingly entourage and all. He was shocked. He said, what is happening here? He asked him, you didn't go there to Ambika temple? He said, no, Madan grabbed the garland from me and he went. And Drishtabuddhi was bewildered. He ran to the Ambika temple and he saw that his son was lying dead, you know. And when Drishtabuddhi saw his son lying dead over there, he completely lost his mind. And Drishtabuddhi, he collapsed right in front of Ambika altar and he died. So Chandrahas eventually comes over there and he sees both of them lying dead and he feels very bad. And he starts praying to Ambika Devi. And by the power of Chandrahas's prayer, Ambika actually appears in front of Chandrahas. And Chandrahas requests for both of them to be revived. And Ambika actually revives both, you know, Drishtabuddhi and Madana. And now Drishtabuddhi and Madan, Drishtabuddhi obviously, he comes to know that one very important thing. So of course, Drishtabuddhi first asks forgiveness to Chandrahas. And it explains the whole story, how he tried to kill him 3 times in his life. And all the 3 times, some power was protecting him. Chandrahas explains to Drishtabuddhi that there are 2 things that human beings have no control over. One is death and one is birth. Both of it are in nobody's hands. Drishtabuddhi explains his, understands this whole thing. And Chandrahas tells Drishtabuddhi that in this world, greed and fear, these 2 things create all levels of insecurity. Whatever insecurity we experience in this world is simply because of greed and fear. So whenever there is greed, greed means the desire for more. And whenever there is fear, fear comes from the idea of loss. Both of this makes a person very insecure. And Chandrahas explains to Drishtabuddhi, the only cure for these 2, greed and fear, is love and compassion. And he explains how important it is to learn to love everyone as children of God. And Chandrahas explains to Drishtabuddhi that everyone in this world is alone. No matter how many relatives you have around you, no matter how many family members you have around you, no matter how much wealth you have, no matter how much education you have, no matter what you have possessions, ultimately you are alone. And the reality of life is, when you're alone, that is when you realize there is only one person who is actually taking care of you, and that is God. The idea of protection of Krishna comes from this thought that everything that I possess is given to me by God. And that gratitude makes me not just humble, but it also makes me dependent. If you really understand this idea of protection, like when Vibhishan comes to Lord Ram and surrenders himself. Now Vibhishan, he has lost everything. He has lost his kingdom, he has lost his family, he has lost his position, he has lost his wealth, he has lost everything. But when he comes to Lord Ram, he comes with his hands folded like this. When he comes with his hands folded, you know, Sugriv looks at Vibhishan with his hands folded. Sugriv tells all the other Vanaras, this guy, Vibhishan, he is very smart. He has come with the most powerful weapon ever. What is the most powerful weapon? Folded hands. When you come in front of God with folded hands, you win God immediately. So now, somebody might think that if you want to conquer, you know, God, you need some chakra, you need some brahmastra, you need some powerful weapons, you know. Actually, you don't need any powerful weapons. The most powerful weapon when you come in front of God is your folded hands. So this concept of folding your hands in front of God is known as akinchanatvam. Akinchanatvam means I possess nothing. So most people, when they come in front of God, they come with this thought that I possess something. Therefore it is said, in one temple it is written outside, keep your footwear and your ego here and go in. So a lot of times when we go in, we may put our footwear outside the temple, but we carry our ego with us. And the ego is more stinking than our footwear. And when we carry that ego with us, we carry the ego that I possess something. You know, I possess intelligence, I possess education, I possess wealth, I possess, you know, fame, I possess something. So when you carry that thought that I possess something and go in front of God, Krishna is Lakshmipati. In front of him, what can you show off? What is the point in showing off, isn't it? But when you go in front of Krishna saying, I possess nothing, that impresses the Lord. That is what this folded hand is about, you know. So when you come in front of God with folded hands, akinchanatva means I possess nothing. You cannot conquer Krishna by your material possessions or material things. Some people might think that if I give a donation of few lakh rupees, I, you know, practically buy Krishna. That's not how you conquer the Lord. When you go in front of God saying that I own nothing, that really impresses God. Because that thought that I own nothing is not an easy thought to have. After all education, if you complete all levels of education and all levels of knowledge, study all the scriptures, study all the Vedas, study everything possible, the last thing that you'll conclude is, I understand nothing. The day you come to this conclusion that I understand nothing, that's the day when the Lord says, wow, amazing, what knowledge this person has. Usually, we think we know a lot. We think we have a lot. But the day we come to the conclusion that I have nothing and I know nothing, that impresses Krishna a lot. So Vibhishan, when he comes in front of the Lord, he comes with his hands folded. And interestingly, Vibhishan has four people that he comes along with. Four servants of his come along with him. Two servants of Vibhishan represent this idea of akinchanatvam. And there are two other servants that come along with Vibhishan. They represent a second concept, which is ananya gatim. So Vibhishan not only folded his hand, but he also folded his leg. I don't know how many of you have observed in South Indian temples when they pay obeisances, they fold their legs also. They put one leg over another leg, you know. What is the meaning of putting one leg over another leg? It means I can't go anywhere else. Ananya gatim, it's called. You know, when your legs are folded, you can't walk, isn't it? If your legs are open, you can walk anywhere. Vibhishan, when he came to Lord Ram, he said, ananya gatim, I can't go anywhere else. Why? He can't go back to Lanka now. He's kicked that position, he's kicked his family, he's given up everything and come. And when he comes to Ram, he's not sure. Ram has not given him any guarantee that I'll take you. Ram has not given him any promise that I'm going to take you. Vibhishan didn't make a phone call asking confirmation, can I come? You know, will you take me? He has just come. So therefore, he can't go anywhere else. Ananya gatim. The idea of not having a choice to go anywhere else is called ananya gatim. For a lot of people, spirituality is like a shopping mall. When you go to a mall, there are so many choices. I can go to this shop, I can go to that shop. There are so many choices that you have. For a lot of people who come to the path of Krishna consciousness or path of spirituality, it's a super spiritual shopping mall. You can go to this person, you can go to that person, you can go to this god, you can go to that god, you can follow this vidhi, you can follow that vidhi. There are so many options. But for a devotee who takes shelter of the Lord, that person understands that I have no option. I have given up all my options. My legs are folded. Ananya Gatim. That means, my dear Lord, I have come to you. I am surrendering to you. I will not go anywhere else. So Vibhishan folded his leg also. Krishna doesn't like to be second option. He doesn't like to be one of the options. He doesn't like to be one of your choices. He likes to be the only choice. So in one sense, Krishna is a little, possessive lover, So if somebody says, I'll go to Krishna and somebody else also, Krishna will say, Baba, go somewhere else. No problem, So he likes this idea of exclusivity, absolute, exclusivity. Of course, it doesn't mean that we don't respect anybody else. It doesn't mean that we can't connect with anybody else, but just the way Krishna is. So when Vibhishan, he folded his leg and he folded his hands, then Ram said, this person I can't refuse. So the idea of protection from the Lord comes from the idea of dependence. A small child is totally dependent on the mother. Totally dependent. And because the child is totally dependent on the mother is completely dedicated to the child. 24/7. Why? Because it's a situation of helplessness. The child, passes stool and urine, doesn't know what to do. He's just helplessly looking at the mother, What did I do? I didn't even know what mistake I made, basically. So for a devotee, when they depend on the Lord the way a child depends on the mother, that exclusivity makes the Lord feel responsible for the protection of his devotees. So Chandrahas, the story of Chandrahas, is a story of absolute dependence. Why is Narad Muni telling this story to Arjun in the beginning of a battlefield, in the beginning of a war? Because the war of life is fought at two levels. One is on an external level where I am doing the fighting part, and one is on an internal level. So on an external level, it may seem that I am doing things. But on an internal level, the idea is that I am depending on the Supreme Lord to direct my senses. Therefore, Krishna is known as Rishikesh. He is the one who directs our senses. So I may be fighting on an external level, but on an internal level, I am depending. So this is known as detached action. So I am acting, but on a mental level, I am depending. So this combination of being dependent on an inner level and acting on an external level is what spirituality is about. So, Damodar Leela, two fingers short, that's exactly what it is. On an external level, I'm doing action, but on an internal level, I'm depending on grace, I'm depending on mercy. So when there is protection at that level, when there's dependence at that level, then protection becomes assured to a devotee. So, interestingly, in the war against Ravan, at some point, during the war, Ravan is aggressively going to attack Lord Ram. And as Ravan is attacking Ram, Vibhishan picks up a gada and he runs to attack Ravan. So now when this, this part of the story is being analyzed, the understanding is, ideally, we think that God is supposed to protect us, isn't it? Ram is supposed to protect Vibhishan. But here, what is Vibhishan doing? Vibhishan going to protect Ram. How does that happen? The understanding is that when a living entity gets connected to God, when a jiva gets connected to God, that jiva becomes fearless. As long as a living entity is connected to himself, his strengths, his power, his abilities, he remains a lot fearful. Before Vibhishan surrendered to Lord Ram, he was always scared of Ravan. He was always afraid of Ravan. He was always quiet, not opening up, not speaking up when Ravan was speaking, whatever Ravan was doing, whatever he did. But the moment Vibhishan met Hanumanji and connected with Hanumanji and saw the fearlessness of Hanumanji, Imagine, Hanuman was the only person in the history of Lanka who in the court of Ravan told Ravan, you are wrong and you are a fool. So till now, Vibhishan thought that practicing spirituality means let bad people do whatever they want to do. I will practice spirituality. So Vibhishan was always a devotee. He was a devotee privately at home. And publicly, he seemed to be secular, seemed to be neutral, seemed to be normal, you know. But after Hanumanji came and went from Lanka, Vibhishan publicly also became dharmic. It's very interesting. After Hanumanji left from Lanka, Vibhishan started speaking up the truth. A lot of us, when we try to portray Krishna consciousness to the world, some of us might think that portraying Krishna to the world in a dharmic portrayal of Krishna may not be the most appropriate. Let people do adharma, no problem. I will do dharma in my life and I will remain neutral. That's what Vibhishan was for a long period of time. At some point he realized, enough not speaking the truth straight. And where did that fearlessness come from? The fearlessness in Vibhishan came because of that connection with Hanumanji. And through Hanumanji he got connected to Lord Ram. And after he got connected to Ram, imagine what he was doing. He took a gada, went straight to hit Ravan. What is the chance of Vibhishan killing Ravan? Absolutely zero. But the courage to fight against Ravan comes when you know that there is Ram protecting you. When you know that there is absolutely the protection of Ram available for you in your life. All of us in our own little lives may lack courage to speak boldly, present Krishna consciousness in different forums. But when we know behind us, Ram is there. Behind us, Krishna is there. Behind us, our entire parampara is there. That gives us a lot of courage. And that courage is so powerful. Courage doesn't mean foolishness. Courage means presenting the truth in a way that is palatable, in a way that is logical, in a way that inspires, and in a way that positively builds faith. And that presentation of truth is very powerful. And that comes when we have the sense of protection that the Lord is really behind us. And that sense of protection comes when we approach the Lord with these two things, akinchanatvam and ananyagatim. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki